call-in show on LRN.FM. I am Dima Vidati. I'm one half of the Freedom Fiends, and we also got Michael W. Dean over there in Wyoming. How you doing, Michael?
I'm good. I don't have my tube, so I have to have really good microphone technique today.
I thought you lived in a tube-based economy. Where is your tube?
Wyoming doesn't sell them at Walmart.
Citizen, you know you're not supposed to be airing your voice without your tube. I'm going to have to discipline you.
Real patriots use XM18 tubes. We should get a sponsor from a tube company.
We should.
I'm kind of kidding. I mean, I'm kind of serious.
Well, which is it? You kind of kidding or are you kind of serious?
I'm kind of serious. Today's episode is called Disobeying Bad Laws in honor of Martin Luther King, who often did that and
made
good social change because of it. And tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day, and it's also the coronation day for Emperor Obama. And I think it's also the day we find out, like, when, you know, like, sign the contracts with for our radio show. So I'm going to look back on that fondly of we got our radio show the day that Obama was coronated.
A big day, yes.
Yeah.
It's a freedom fix to combat the tyranny today of Obama's coronation.
Yeah, and I want to get us on as many radio stations as possible before Obama does an executive action to outlaw conservative talk radio, which he probably think we are.
Huh. Well, that's interesting because you've been obsessed with radio lately. You've been reading industry books and reading about how radio is such a better platform for, you know, actually getting people to give you some gravitas in their head because, oh, it's on radio. They must be telling the truth. But radio is also more vulnerable to government attacks than a podcast or the internet.
Yeah, pirate radio is not, but we're not going to be on pirate radio. We're going to be on radio, like FCC control. I read all the FCC requirements on the FCC site last night of, like, you know, what you can and can't say. And you can't cuss. You actually can cuss between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. It's called the fair shores or something time. I don't know, but we can't where we're going. But you can actually cuss. And then they have, like, it says on the site something to the effect of, like, you know, we can only stop people from cussing on the radio if you have complaints. And it's like the site where you go to complain to. And it says, if you have complaints about people talking about drug use or cigarette use on the radio, we don't control that. And we recommend that you contact your local broadcaster to complain. And then it says, and it basically says, and we don't have any control over satellite radio or, you know, cable TV. Sorry, you know, because people go there like, I heard Tony Soprano say the F word. Do something about it. You know, they're like, sorry, man, it's not our ballywick.
Good.
Yeah.
At least they keep to themselves. I mean, I guess I always figured cabinet level places like that would always be trying to expand their ballywick, as you called it.
But, yeah.
Maybe they don't want to step on other people's toes.
The interesting thing is Bill Clinton signed the law that killed the fairness doctrine thing that, you know, allowed everybody to demand equal time, and also, like, deregulated it to where Clear Channel was able to buy, you know, Clear Channel and Viacom were able to buy up most of the stations and put right wingers on them. And so, you know, Clinton signed this thing and it just allowed everyone to, like, yell about Clinton on the radio. And yeah, there's actually a documentary film called Broadcast Blues, which I watched some of last night, and it's like lefties saying the radio waves belong to everyone, we deserve equal time. And I'm thinking, like, you guys, you know, it's not a right-wing conspiracy that there's not more of you on the radio. It's like, you guys suck at it. You know, I don't like right-wing radio, but they're really good at what they do. And Air America, the left-wing, you know, radio channel or radio network, went out of business. And there's actually something in this NPR book I'm reading about, like, someone was interviewing them on the first day they opened, and they actually used a bit where, who's the guy that's a Minnesota congressman now that used to be a Saturday Night Live guy playing guys on TV, playing politicians on TV?
Oh, Al Franken?
Yeah, Al Franken was, like, their banner talk show host. And the first day they opened, like, they were like, oh, wait, where's Al Franken? Oh, he got himself locked out of the building. You know, like, that was a good precursor, a good indicator of where they were headed. The free market spoke. The free market said, lefties don't want to listen to lefty talk radio. You know,
they do. They just want it to be public. They don't want it to be for profit. They want it to be on NPR.
Well, NPR, I mean, I would say there's already more listeners of left-wing radio because I think that NPR is predominantly left-wing, although they're really just statist. Everything they do is, every article they do, every show they do is, every news bit is like, and why must the government steal more money to get this wrong righted? You know, everything they do.
Right. But, I mean, modern lefties love the state. So, I mean, that makes sense that they would love something that was completely biased towards statism.
You know who started NPR? Who signed it into existence? LBJ.
Should I guess?
Lyndon Baines. Lyndon Bain of the world, Johnson.
He really is, yeah. Is that where the term Johnson came from, using Johnson as a dick? Was it because LBJ was a dick?
I don't think so, man. that makes sense.
Was it before him?
That's awesome.
Well, we have the LBJ library here in Austin. I used to park at it all the time when I went to University of Texas. And they've got banners up.
You're not a good anarchist. You were stealing parking. You were using parking that's paid for by taxpayer money.
That's always
such a bad argument because it's basically like the government has a monopoly and you utilized it. You're bad. You're not a real anarchist.
Yeah, it's not my fault.
You're not a real
government libertarian. Government forces the monopoly, right?
Yeah, you know for a fact that if there were like, you know, the guns and weed parking lot right next door that cost 25 cents for the day, you would have used it instead.
Yeah, I would have.
And in Lib Hair,
cost 25 cents and you get a free gram of pot for every month you have as a membership.
Yeah. And a 30-round mag printed by Cody Wilson.
Cody Wilson
was on Glenn Beck the other day. And I have never seen someone so mellow on Glenn Beck while Glenn Beck is basically saying, "You're a monster. You're destroying America." And he's like, Cody's like, "I don't think so. I don't really believe in those dichotomies." And then Cody said, you know, Glenn is like, "What are your politics?" And Cody's like, "I'm a left anarchist." And Glenn Beck just paused and said, I don't know what that is.
I'm surprised he said that, though. I figured he would come up with, "Oh, well, you just want, you know, blood in the streets," or something like that.
I think we should play a little bit of that interview. But first, read the blurb that Cody gave the fiends for our radio bio. It's awesome.
Yes.
I pigeoned it.
Cody Wilson, the printable gun guy from Defense Distributed, he says, "The Freedom Fiends are great radio, and the guys are incredibly media savvy. Back in August 2012, I'd never done an interview and didn't want to do any, ever. Then Michael explained how important it is to my mission and coached me on how to do an interview. I did my first ever media appearance with him."
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So Michael got the scoop, and that's going to be our blurb. Program directors will get to read that when they are deciding fiends or no fiends, and hope they'll choose fiends.
And read the one from Free Talk Live co-host Ian Freeman says.
Yes. It's the man who paved the way for so many people in the Liberty audio media. Ian says, "The Freedom Fiends are sure to be an appointment listening for your audience. They're smart, fun, and nothing like the typical left-right spectrum of talk show hosts." Nice.
Yep. And, you know, Ian's not a kind of pro quo kind of guy. He just does stuff out of the goodness of his heart. But we did do something nice for him, too. I got him a DVD distribution deal with MVD Video, our distributor, for Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree movie. And
yes,
the DVD is orderable. I don't know if it's out yet, but you can order it on Amazon. And that's a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. You can also download it free. But if you want to help support that empire, I mean, that effort. Ian's a good guy. Ian just spent a whole bunch of money. I don't know if he wants me to say how much, but like a five-figure amount renting 3 more years of satellite time for Liberty Radio Network. That's awesome, man.
Yeah,
the guy's great.
He's in it for, you know, the world, I feel like. Not just in it for himself, but in it to make life better through everybody, through promoting freedom. And he gets it, man. So thank you, Ian.
Yep. And a lot of people don't know that Free Talk Live is on more radio stations than Alex Jones.
It is. Yeah. Their numbers got a lot bigger since the last time most people have heard it. I think their wiki page needs to be updated.
Yeah.
But we're going to go ahead and get off nuts for a little bit and go sell some things.
Go eat some nuts with the squirrels and worms. Mew. Yo, Freedom Fiends.
What it do? It's your boy, Nima Vidotti. and your other boy or man. I don't know. I feel bad calling you a boy. I feel like it's okay to say it's your boy, but not.
I'm your boy, but I'm a man.
You're my boy, but are you everybody else's boy?
I don't know, man. I'm 48. I really can't go by boy anymore.
Yeah. Jason, and now that I'm like 40 something.
Now that I've lost 24 pounds, I actually look older, because there's something about like having plump in your face that covers up the lines.
Ah, the lines, the wisdom lines. Yes, the lines of knowing that the state is BS.
Yeah, so
it's weird because some people get older and they get wiser and they get that, but some people, it's like you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You know what I mean?
We got some Dane Geld today. You know what Dane Geld is? We got a donation of $30 from Hans in Denmark.
Hans?
Yeah. But, you know, I was like, DJ, isn't that a German name? And she's like, no, Hans Christian Andersen. That's he was a Dane. He was a Scandinavian. A Scand.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. Scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Would you like to advertise your product or service to a large built-in audience of liberty-loving consumers who truly dig the free market? Freedom Fiends is now selling ad space. Slots are reasonably priced, but limited, so contact us today. Write the Fiends at talkback@freedomfiends.com. That's talkback@freedomfiends.com.
Yeah, but Dane Geld was actually, Geld means money, and Dane Geld was money paid. It was blood money in the good sense of the word. It was like back in the day, if you killed someone's family member, you had to pay the family money rather than going to prison. So it was actual retribution and actual, the word for it? Compensation
restorative justice.
Yes. Yeah. As opposed to just the state gets to punish you and put you in a cage.
Well, what was it, anarchic, or was the state involved in it?
It was anarchic. Well, we could read the whole article, but it was basically the precursor to our civil law system of being able to sue someone for damages.
Okay.
Let's see. The Viking expedition.
Was there a socially acceptable amount, or was the amount decided by the victim, or how did they work those kinds of things out?
Well, actually, the English payment, there was a payment of 10,000 pounds, Roman pounds of silver in the year 991 following the Viking victory at the Battle of Maldon in Essex when King Ethelred the Unready. Boy, that's a.
Ethelrod the Unready.
Yeah,
there's nothing cool about that name.
I'm taking that he lost that battle. the Unready.
Yes.
Anyway, you can look it up. Yeah. Dane Geld. It's good.
It's good.
We got some some Danish Geld today.
I guess I'll take your word for it. Yeah. Well, we didn't kill anybody, so
no. So it wasn't really.
Hopefully that's not really what it is.
Yeah.
And then hopefully Franz will also send us an equal amount.
Yeah.
Yes. Excellent, man. So I talked to Sheriff Mack yesterday, Sheriff Richard Mack, and did a little interview.
He didn't
with
remember
him.
You. He was. You were like, yeah, we interviewed you for the Guns and Weed movie. And he's like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think
well,
he was
Frank
baked?
Was surprised because Frank was with me.
Do you think he was
no,
baked?
No, he didn't look baked.
He's so he's like he's as square energy, as man. He's square, but in a good way. But he's like as square as Hank Hill, man. He would be like marijuana. I would never.
Yeah. Well, like a but million people interview him all day long, so I wasn't like, oh, how do you not know? He didn't even remember that he had gone to Lander, Wyoming. He was like, I remember being in Wyoming, but I don't know if I've ever been to Lander.
And I'm
like,
man, he thinks Lander's forgettable. I think Lander's forgettable.
What? Lander? Well, I guess if you just scratch the surface, but
didn't
if you go down
there?
To Sinks Canyon. No, I lived in Riverton, but whenever we wanted a little fun, we would take a road trip to Lander because it was much nicer than Riverton. It was prettier, and it's right by Sinks Canyon and Shoshone National Forest. And if you know where to go in Lander, Lander can be great fun. But I digress. Sheriff Mack was there, and he was riling people up. What it was is it was called Gun Appreciation Day. I guess a bunch of people around the country did this thing where they went to their state capitol buildings and had, you know, we want our guns, keep our guns kind of thing. It's mostly minarchist, but there were a few good ANCAPs and anarchists of various stripes there. And got to talk to a lot of them, interviewed a few people, including Sheriff Mack. And kind of asked Sheriff Mack, you know, how he feels about the fact that the Constitution, you know, the government tends to ignore it. Not only tends to ignore it, but is proven to ignore it all the time for, like, ever. And what makes us put any faith in pieces of paper to keep these ultra-powerful statist in D.C. from stomping on us all the time. And his answer was basically, well, should I play it for you? Do we have time for that?
Yeah, and, you know, my problem with that, one of my problems with that is, do you really want the line in the sand of liberty to protect you from the feds to be the guy in your county that's responsible for busting people for weed all day long?
Right, yeah, yeah. And that's a big point to make and an important one. And what somebody in the chat room, Mark, put a link to a Will Grigg article there too that basically makes that same point. The title is Put Not Your Trust in Federalized Sheriffs. And Sheriff Mack is actually really good on just about everything as far as personal freedom. I disagree with his tactics as far as, you know, using local government and using the Constitution. But, I mean, Sheriff Mack is cool with ending the war on drugs. He doesn't even think people should
give
speeding
tickets. Did you say Mark Mack? Did you
no,
say
I said
Mark?
Sheriff, I, said, oh, okay. I said Sheriff Mack.
I like the shorter definition by Ed. He says, good meaning people who insist on remaining Constitution humpers make me sad. Oh, yeah, and yeah. Manga, and somebody in the chat room said the 30-06 donation was me. And I thought he meant he was going to shoot us with a 30-06 and that was his donation. But no, it's the guy in Denmark.
That's
was
the
like,
amount.
Yeah, it was $30.06. You know, it was probably 20 euros or
good.
Something. But.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I dig that. But here's Mac when I talk to him, then we'll give some more reaction.
La 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 la.
Ah, there we go.
It seems like the federal government has been stepping on the Constitution for decades and decades now.
Yes.
At what point do we give up on the idea that the Constitution can actually limit those in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I'm never going to give up on the Constitution. I'm never going to. And I believe that there's still a solution to this. And we take back America and we restore the Constitution, county by county and state by state. We work at the local level to build the barriers and to have sheriffs especially say, you're not going to do that here. But it's not just sheriffs. We need governors and legislators and legislatures, city, councilmen, county commissioners, all working together, even school boards, saying we're not dealing with the federal government anymore. And when we start doing this, and it's starting right now, it is happening, and the federal government says, then we're not going to send you any more money. Huh. What a wonderful statement. Because then the governors and local officials go, good, we're not sending you any more money, and including federal income tax of our citizens. We'll collect it and we'll keep it and send what you think we, what we think you need. When we cut the federal ties with the federal government and keep them from stealing our money, and that's exactly what the income tax is, when we stop that, we gain freedom today.
It's good stuff, but... I mean, at least he's consistent.
It sounds almost like he's saying we don't want them to steal the money. We'll steal the money and then decide how much of the money we steal to give back to the government.
You know, it's probably really rare that anybody interviews him who doesn't hate him but doesn't agree with him, you know, on everything. It's kind of like Cody Wilson being on Glenn Beck.
Yeah, but it's important. I mean, I really respect Sheriff Mack, but that doesn't mean we have to bow down to his every word. And I think it's important to make some distinctions here. And we'll do more of that when we come back after selling some things.
Worms. Worms. Yo. Worms. Worms.
Yeah. Worms. Squirms.
Squirrel. The result of a squirrel-worm marriage.
Yes. That is
squirms.
Squirms are going to ruin society forever. How could we let them get away with that, Michael?
I mean, if squirms can marry, what's next? A tree and a 57 Chevy?
Yeah, yeah. With squirms watching.
So it's I got
squirm voyeurism.
I got two funny short DJ in Walmart stories. I didn't go with her yesterday, but first thing, this is kind of interesting. She was walking by the pharmacy in Walmart. And, you know, I've had a lot of tales of woe of dealing with that pharmacy lately. She walked by that pharmacy, and it's always open on Saturday, and it was closed, and there was a sign that said, pharmacy closed due to flu.
That's hilarious. Yeah. That's like I saw some guy driving a little beat-up truck once, and it had horribly painted in, like, really amateurish sign on it that said, like, Bob's Painting Service, my phone number. And I was
That's
like,
funny.
Nah, that's not going to work, buddy.
Yeah. I have a story like that too, and it was actually on NPR All Things Considered once, but it's a long story.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
You know, and I guarantee, or I would assume strongly, that the pharmacists who are sick with the flu are not being berated by their doctors for smoking and aren't being denied drugs that actually make them feel good. They're probably sitting home with a Demerol drip and
I don't know about that, man.
Military grade antibiotics.
yeah. But I always thought though that pharmacists and pharmacy techs, like, there's like a clamp on them. Like, they're very thoroughly watched by regulators. I mean, I'm not saying that regulators are actually good at doing their jobs, but I would say you'd probably have to be more worried if you're a pharmacist about getting in trouble.
Well, I had an aunt. When I first got into recovery, my dad said, hey, you should talk to your great aunt, blah, blah, blah. She's in recovery too. And I started talking to her, and she was a pharmacy tech who'd lost her license because she was stealing drugs. And, you know, I chatted with her a little, and she was so pushing Christ on me as recovery that I just couldn't talk to her anymore.
Yeah.
My dad
actually, his dad, so my grandpa in Iran, had a pharmacy. And my dad used to work at it and, like, helped him get it off the ground. And he would, like, go ride his bike, you know, across town or whatever to other pharmacies. And they would just trade drugs back and forth. You know, like, well, we're out of this.
Free market, baby.
You have this. Yeah, pretty much. And Iran wasn't really it was a de facto free market, but Iran, the Shah was
Iran hates us for our freedoms.
The Shah was really obtrusive, obviously, though. But he was an American installed dictator. But my dad told us this story last time we were visiting him, that he was on one of these bicycle trips to the other pharmacy to pick up some drugs. And one of the Shah's goons stopped him, but not for the drugs. The Shah's goon stopped him because he was by the coast and he was riding and transporting stuff. The Shah's goon thought that he was fishing. I guess the Shah thought that the Caspian Sea was the Shah's sea, and there was like rules against people not fishing in it.
We don't care if you have a messenger bag full of unlicensed Demerol, but you ain't fishing in this ocean.
You ain't fishing, right? Exactly. And I guess the Shah was very jealous of it too. And I think there's still some pretty heavy restrictions on it. I guess mostly because of the caviar. That's where a lot of the great caviar comes from. Is the Caspian Sea,
the king's caviar,
the Shah's caviar. Well, the Shah just means king, but yeah, exactly. But my dad said he actually got into a physical altercation, like a fist fight with this Shah's goon. And I guess he won because he went about his way after it and went to his dad's place and was, I guess he was fine. No, he wasn't fine. He actually, more goons showed up and threw my dad in jail. And my dad's dad, my grandpa, had to like go bail him out and I guess bribed them or whatever. But I don't know, man. It's like, even then, even under their dictatorship, I feel like it's not as bad as now when you'd get swatted just because there's so many more government goons. Even though the government goons were just as evil in the Shah's Iran, I feel like now there's so much more of them and all of them, and there's so much horizontal enforcement that there wasn't in Iran back then. Like everybody who wasn't part of the Shah's goon force hated the Shah and hated the concept of him and hated the government, most people at least. Here in America, man, people are like, yeah, yeah, and cheering on the SWAT team when they do horrible stuff.
Yeah. While I tell my second DJ at Walmart story, do you want to cue up the video I just sent you? We've had a request, a hit request, one of our hits for the Complias and Catmuff ad. DJ was in Walmart talking to her daughter on her cell phone, and you know, her daughter was like, so what do you think about all this gun stuff? And DJ was on her cell phone saying, Wyoming isn't going to stand for their guns being taken away. And some guy she's never seen in her life walked by her and gave her a thumbs up.
Nice. Nice.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. The joys of expanding the government.
Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan political action committee whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? Through horizontal enforcement. Horizontal enforcement is how concerned citizens help grow government with our day-to-day attitudes and actions. Because no matter how much government expands, there can't always be a police officer or federal agent everywhere. That's where you come in. Start snitching. If you see something, even if it's nothing, say something. When you're not busy spying on your neighbors or squinting at everyone, spout an endless stream of verbal horizontal enforcement. Tell anyone who will listen, and especially those who don't want to listen, why more government is a good thing. Do this constantly. You'll get a warm and fuzzy feeling demanding more taxes, arguing in favor of gun control while militarizing our police, and shaming anyone who's caught breaking any law or criticizing our justice system. Who needs innocent until proven guilty? If someone gets arrested, they're probably guilty. So act like they are until they are. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. Because more government means more warm, fuzzy feelings for all of us. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
CATMUF is not a real political action committee. It's a fiction created for satirical expression protected by the First Amendment, which may still exist in some form despite the so-called Patriot Act. This ad was actually produced by the good people at the Freedom Fiends podcast. That's FREEDOMFEENS.com.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I forgot about that, man.
Yeah, man. That's a great one. That's a classic.
I know.
Taking you back.
Taking you all the way back to 2011.
Was that 2000? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. 12, maybe. I don't know. Who knows? Yeah. Who can remember these things? We just...
The past is the past.
We churn out so much. September 9th, 2011.
Ah, okay.
Yep.
Good.
It was... I wanted to get it out in time for September 11th, 10th year anniversary.
Okay.
You know, terror porn presentation on all the major networks.
What? You hate Merca?
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people that were saying that in 2011 are kind of starting to hate America now that that it wants to take their guns.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
But you know, the funny thing is, or the ironic, it's not funny, it's the ironic thing is, or the we were right thing was like, everybody who's any flavor of liberty person has been saying for years, going back to like Clinton, before Clinton, going back to like the 60s, has been saying they're going to take our guns. And there's actually a thing in, and the liberals were always like, we're not going to take your guns. We're just going to put the, we're just yeah. going to put it in a little bit, baby.
Just the tip. Just the tip.
You know, I think the thing I worked the hardest on that ad was coming up with the acronym CATMUF.
CATMUF.
Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom.
Well, CATMUF. You had to top pilfer. We've got to pilfer everyone. So no, we had to continue with the same thing.
I guess I did top it. Although, I don't want to say I topped you. I don't top you.
All right. We'll be back after we sell some things.
Topper Bottoms, the young, strong assistant to the captain in his tight little pants. Topper Bottoms.
This is the Freedom Fiends. What it do, folks? What it do, Michael Dean?
WD. Hey. I'd like to invite the larger audience out there to join us on the Freedom Fiends chat room. If you go to the Freedom Fiends cat room, if you go to freedomfiends.com, it's F-E-E-N-S, freedomfiends.com. There's a big coffee cup. It's pink, a pink coffee cup over on the right. And if you click on that, you can log in and use any username you want in the chat room. You know, when I want to make a shout out to the Blue Ridge Liberty Project, which is a new move here and we'll set you free. It's the Blue Ridge Liberty Project.com. Apparently, they have 150 people there and 4,000 pledged. I don't know. I ain't going nowhere, man. There's a Free State Wyoming project, and I'm just not a pledger, man. Are you a pledger?
I don't know. I haven't found a pledge yet that I've pledged. I mean, I guess I pledged allegiance back in the day, and it left a bad taste in my mouth. So I always like to do it anymore.
I always like the Groucho Marx thing. I wouldn't join any club that would have me.
That would have me as a member?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the chat room was actually looking for the Compliacent ad.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to freedomfiends.com.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies! Jesus. On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
There was a New York mayor of some small town there that warns of a Waco-style standoff over gun control laws. New York is trying to even pass more gun control laws than Obama's trying to pass. And this New York mayor said something to the effect of, most gun owners are smart and will turn in their weapons, but I'm afraid there's going to be a few out there who are going to have a Waco style standoff, and it won't be pretty. And I'm thinking, like, babies died in Waco. So is he basically saying the government will kill babies to get guns out of the hands of people who aren't violent?
He basically is saying that. Yeah. And it sounds like a threat too. I mean, the thing
we'll kill
about
you
it,
for your guns. That's what he's saying.
Yeah. Yeah. He said some of you will be smart and some of you will get burned to death by tanks and helicopters is almost what I get from that. Ugh. Yeah. That's pretty awful. I've queued up a video of him speaking here. Do you want to hear what he actually said?
Sure.
All right. Hold on. Some anchor ladies speaking to intro.
Most people are law-abiding citizens and may go ahead and sell those or turn those over, but you're going to have a faction of people that are going to take a stand. And I can just predict a Waco-style standoff in some rural area, and it's not going to end well.
What's this guy's name? So he basically just said what you said.
What's his name?
He's New York Mayor Dayton King. He's independent, so he's not a Democrat or Republican. So that's a good point for those people who think that, I can just be independent and still be status, and it's not as bad as being a Democrat or Republican.
This is pretty bad. In rural New York State, you probably have – in his county, I'll bet he used to be a Democrat or Republican. I think that was a strategy. I'm from upstate New York, and it's like it's predominantly Republican, but, you know, probably changing demographic of young people being born and going, Obama's going to buy me a college education. Let's keep him in president. Speaking of keeping him in president, the Obama campaign fund is still taking donations, which I find really bizarre.
Yeah, was that a mistake? I saw that. I mean, will they actually – I mean, I assume they would actually keep the money if you gave it to them. But
well, I don't think it's legal. I don't think it's legal to collect – you know, there's campaign laws. And is it legal to collect money for a candidate whose time is over?
I mean, according to the legal team, whatever the president does is legal because he's the president, Michael.
I like this. Obama going to buy me a gun. Obama's selling a lot of guns. He's not paying for them. But another thing is there's a lot of speculation that he's going to funnel tax money into gun control and gun control ads. He is saying we need ads all the time. And Eric Holder said that 10 years ago. But and he's turning part of the we need to keep an eye on the guns over to Department of Homeland Security. And we know how ethical and constitutional and efficient they are.
Well, they're going to steal the money anyway, and so I'd rather – it's better for it to be put to something as useless as that into more drones or more other police state things.
That's true.
I mean, how many people put the joint down when they see the drug PSAs? You know, nobody. Yeah. Nobody.
No,
nobody,
man,
looks at those and is like, man, I'm not going to smoke pot anymore.
People get high and laugh at those, man.
Yeah, people like, watch them.
I'm smoking weed, and my brains aren't an egg cracked into a frying pan.
Right.
Printable guns, man. Printable drones. How about printable drones?
Or
drones distributed.
Yes.
They have PSAs for guns and for drones. Yeah, it's probably true. I mean, I have seen the drone ones. Like, you can be an important part of our nation's security. You know, sitting around playing video games all day, you know, they have, like, heavy metal music when none of those kids listen to heavy metal music. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
But
One of the good things about not having government TV is I never get to watch – or I never watch PSAs anymore. Richard, Richard in the chat room, send us some PSAs for drones if you can find one. That'd be great.
One of the horrible things about being a co-host of the Freedom Fiends is that people send me that stuff 24/7. I can't get away from it, man. I can't. So, but one of the things that people are saying is going to happen is Obama is stealing a bunch of tax money to give to the Center for Disease Control to study gun violence. And the charter of the long form of that is that the CDC can subcontract out to anyone they want, and they may subcontract out to just give funding to the Brady campaign or something.
Yeah. I mean, it's within the realm of possibility. I just don't know why people still buy that line. Like, we're going to do a government study. A government agency is going to pay for a study.
Impartial study.
Yeah, it's not impartial then. You're obviously going to come up with a solution that involves more government. It seems impossible for you not to.
Well, the CDC under Bush did a study on gun violence and determined that gun laws don't affect gun violence either way. Oh. But I guess they have to update that with the new agenda, with their scientific method, which is – decide what you're going to outlaw and then pay scientists to provide data that is skewed to do what you want to do.
Yeah, that's about it, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, Obama's fund is now a PAC, someone said. So basically, you know, they did some kind of wrangling. I mean, Stephen Colbert did a whole bunch of kind of really funny things on that, where he hired this guy that was a tax attorney.
He started his own super PAC, right?
To show that, what did he do with it?
How easy it was. I think he just used it to
buy ads. Oh, he bought comedic ads against other candidates and put them on the air.
He fake run for president too?
Yeah, but only in South Carolina.
Only South Carolina, where he's from.
Yeah. And they basically said, this is funny, but please stop. You're hurting us.
Who said that? The Republicans or the South Carolinians?
No, it was the Democrats. And they said, you know, please stop. And he did.
But bowed down before them. What
you know, really, I mean, if you're going to believe in a voting system, should it matter one whit if the party wants you to run as the party? It shouldn't. You know, anybody should be able to say, I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican and I'm running as a Republican and Democrat. And I don't know. That's just arguing over what color hat the guy whipping you is wearing or the process which he gets to wear that hat, I guess it would be.
Yeah, yeah. Either way, I mean, I don't want any part of it. And there's a lot of people that feel that way, too. Like, I feel like I'm stewing in my own juices so much. But yesterday, you know, being out at the Capitol and finding more people than just the, you know, we love God, our family, and guns. There were, you know, people that were rational anarchists there, people that were ANCAPs, and just meeting them and talking to them and people who had listened to The Fiends and seen our videos. It was very life-affirming. Yeah.
Anyone recognize you?
But yeah, they were Facebook friends that had planned to be there anyway. So I don't know if that counts, but I guess it does.
It does. It does in this day and age. We've had another request for one of our hit songs. I've pigeoned you the link for the Kim Pliason ad.
I worry, though, that we're not going to be able to play the whole thing before we go out
ahead, man.
For selling.
It's 2 minutes and two. How long do we have?
It's we have less than a minute.
All right, then we'll play when we come back and then take some calls or something.
Yeah. We'll do that thing. Yeah, so, man. Conspiracy. Those hard breaks, we gotta keep an eye out on those, man.
Yep.
We're going to have to do that more and more on radio. Oh, I guess not initially for
because we're pre-editing.
Stuff.
Yeah. Right. For the pre-editing, it'll be even freer. We'll just rant, and then I'll edit it in the right amount of time.
You'll chop out the good
I'll just
stuff.
Chop it'll you out. Like, I'll chop you out and leave me.
Oh.
Leave.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Bola VPN, our sponsor, is now accepting Bitcoins. You can go to Bola, BOLEHVPN.net, and set up for a virtual private network to protect you from the central scrutinizer paying in Bitcoin. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, man. I kind of feel like now when people are like, hey, we just started accepting Bitcoin, I'm kind of like, wow, you're late to the party.
So you've got 30 seconds. Explain why disobeying bad laws is a good thing.
Well, why wouldn't it be wait, say that again?
Disobeying bad laws. It's something that Martin Luther King encouraged. You know, he said, like, you know, a bad law is no law at all. I mean, he broke the law to extend rights to people of color.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing for a million reasons. And the biggest one, I think, is letting people know that no man can make a law over you. That law is something that is natural. Michael Dean here. Michael W. Dean. I don't know if he's there or not. Michael.
I'm here. I was doing cat yoga. You know what cat yoga is?
Cat yoga.
You know,
do
cats
I
want to
know what cat yoga is?
Yeah. It's me doing, you know, stretching kind of like the way cats do. Like, get on your knees and hands and kind of like stick your butt up in the air.
What? Say that again?
Well, I guess it's yoga. I don't really do yoga, but
face down, ass up. That's the way Michael likes
it's to called
stretch.
It's called the down dog position, but I call it the down cat position because my cats do it all the time.
Because you're a cat person.
Yeah. Somebody
now, are you anti-dog? Are you? Do you not
no, man,
like dogs?
I love
Why
your
do you
dog.
Hate dogs so
I
much?
Want,
Michael?
I want a dog. We just don't have enough property for it.
What do you mean? I live in an apartment that's like half the size of your house, and I have
and you have to put your dog in a cage when you go to work so he won't eat your walls and claw through them, man.
That whole thing. Yeah.
We're gonna get dogs when we get. Actually, I was watching a CSI Miami, and there was a drug dealer that had instead of guard dogs, he had guard peacocks. Because whenever anyone comes up, they go
guard cocks.
It's pretty awesome.
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
You know, I was watching, I know you think it's square that I watch that, but I was watching an episode, I'm watching it like season 1 through season 10 on Netflix, and there was one, it was the first cross-jurisdictional CSI. It was where the Horatio Caine from Miami goes to New York because there's a guy who's murdered someone in both places. And I couldn't believe how they showed New York. And I'm not really one to stick up for New York, but it was like, you know, they show Miami as like yellow and golden and beautiful and everyone's looks like a model. And they go to, he gets off the plane, he gets out of the scene in New York and it's like, it's gray and cold wet and, you know, some fat detective with a, you know, shoulder holster and a revolver comes up and he's like, well, okay, here's what we got. It's like everything's abrasive and dark.
Do you think they
horrible.
Intentionally color it that way?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the CSI New York, they kind of color it a little bit blue. I mean, it's a lot more muted looking than the CSI Miami. Right. But in CSI Miami, the way they showed New York and they interacted with the people in New York, CSI, the way they showed it was way more gray and horrible than it is. I mean, it was really, it was like, it looked like that episode was directed by the, you know, the Miami Board of Tourism or something to get people, to get everyone to move, you know, spend their winters in Miami or something, which they already do, but.
They were pulling a Rick Perry and be like, New Yorkers, come on down here.
I know. I mean, and it was like, he goes into the New York lab and the first thing the guy says is, there are 9 rats in New York for every person. And I'm like, really? You had to go there that quick? Come on, guys. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like,
I mean, there's like 7 alligators for every person in Florida, right?
I know. I know. There was a scene they went to, an actual place in one of the episodes, and I had to look it up. It's called like Hell's Bay, and it's where the Everglades meet the ocean. And it's like,
nice.
It's populated by alligators and sharks. And I'm like, that's where I want to spend my vacation, man.
Let's go swimming.
Where the alligators meet the sharks.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. Alligator versus shark sounds like a Discovery Channel special.
I know. Probably it's like one. Florida, where everything can kill you. You know, if the gators don't get you, the gangbangers will, and everyone's armed. I really like the Death Clock, the Metal Apocalypse, where the singer becomes the governor of New York.
I mean,
the governor of Florida.
Miami, Florida.
Yeah,
Miami
by accident. It's like the you know, someone in Florida proposes having a, you know, Nathan Explosion Day because he was born there and grew up there. And the governor's like, no way. They're not war heroes or politicians. We will not honor them. And like the crowd cuts his head off and holds it up and writes dildo on his forehead and holds it up for the television camera. And they do a write-in vote and they vote Nathan Explosion, the governor of Florida. And he doesn't want to do it. And finally he goes down to do it. And they're like, you know, everyone in the band gets a position. Like, you know, one guy wants to be the in charge of like dealing with China, and he ends up like going to a strip club and a hooker gets killed by a Chinese diplomat. And of course, the bass player Murderface is like, I want to be in charge of the National Guard. And the headline says, William Murderface tells National Guard to, quote, blow stuff up. And, you know, then Nathan Explosion says, well, there's a money problem. Okay, we'll print state money. And they print $666 bills with his face on them, and the economy collapses. And then it is, you know, they say it's anarchy, but it's literally, it's chaos. Like, everyone's shooting everyone.
Right. Because of the statism, not because of the anarchy.
And then the hurricane comes, and they're, he's at the hurricane center, and they're like, what, stop it. Use these machines to stop it. And he's like, we don't do that here, sir. What do you do here? We name them. What do you want to name it? Scrambles the Death Dealer.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, 27 times as big as Katrina or something.
That right there, that episode's the best proof for anarchy, right? I mean, one day, Nathan Explosion or somebody like him will be the governor of some state.
Well, I don't think it's a – I do not think it's a good sales pitch for anarchy. It's like, you know, one day of him being governor and everyone's dying.
Yeah, I guess
and
that's
then God
true
punishes the state with a hurricane.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, all the politicians, they are kind of like Nathan Explosion, that they let all their friends be their fellow goons.
Yeah.
And they're kind of just like there to party and be powerful. And
and blow stuff up. And have the National Guard.
Blow stuff up.
The Florida National Guard. Blow stuff up.
Blow shit up.
Yeah. Well, William Murderface is a military history buff. He likes Civil War stuff especially. But, you know, it's like, what do I want to do? I want to be in charge of an army. Cool. Thanks. Yeah. Blow stuff up.
Well, in that book I'm reading, Iranian Rappers and Persian Porn, he mentions, you know, during the Iranian hostage crisis, there was a failed Jimmy Carter-led, I mean, I guess he called the shots because he's commander-in-chief, attempt to save the hostages covertly through military action. And apparently went all horribly wrong. And what it was they landed helicopters in the middle of the desert and were going to refuel there. And while they were
Ross
doing
Perot, right? Ross Perot did this, didn't he?
No. No, this was the government, man. Ross Perot was never...
There was some private citizen that tried to do... Did that successfully once, I think. I think it was Ross Perot.
A private citizen that saved the Iranian hostages and the Iranian
saved
hostage
some hostages
crisis?
Somewhere. Yeah, like sent his own militia, you know, his own, like, private goons in and saved some hostages.
Well, this was a government operation, and it failed. It was U.S. military.
There you go.
And the guy, I guess, who was in charge of it wrote an autobiography. And at one point when they were rendezvousing, there was a bus of Iranian tourists that were driving through the desert. And they stopped them because they were seeing the dirty deed taking place. And they asked the leader in his autobiography what we should do. And the leader in his autobiography says, well, just blow the bastards up. And then, he said everybody gave him a weird look, and he's like, oh, just kidding. And then in his book, he says, I wasn't kidding. I wanted to blow them up.
In
like
the book,
some sick in bastard.
In the book I'm reading, the NPR Style Guide, there's a section on how to write stories without being cliche. And they're like, for instance, let's take the cliche of how every story ever about an impending hurricane is coming. You'll see people stocking up on food. Authorities being interviewed, people trying to get gas and being out, people leaving on the only road out of town, and one old timer who refuses to bug out. And I was watching a CSI Miami last night, and there was a hurricane episode, and all of that stuff happened in the first 5 minutes. It's like, man, this proves it. You know, and when I was reading it a few hours earlier, I was like, this is literally every news show script I've ever seen of an impending hurricane story. People boarding up their windows. It's all in there. It's like, isn't there another way to show that? And that's what they were saying. But then I was watching Fiction a couple hours later. And it's like, that's what was happening. Of course, then there was a murder in the parking lot, which was unusual.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of feel like that way about all news, though, not just hurricanes. Like, when it's politics, it's always the same thing. It's all like, Democrat says we need more government. Republican says we need more government. But slightly different.
Yeah.
And that's,
I mean,
about
of course,
it.
In this too, and this stood out to me, was one of them was, you know, sound bites with, you know, bureaucrats responsible for helping people.
Yeah.
Or getting in their way in the case of FEMA. Because remember, FEMA blocked firefighters in Texas, volunteer firefighters who tried to come in and help.
They also, didn't they block volunteers from going down to Katrina as well? Or not Katrina, going down to New Orleans to help out.
Speaking
the Katrina
of which,
aftermath.
The former mayor of New Orleans has been arrested for massive fraud. Ray Nagin? The guy that took all the guns away. Yep, there is justice in the world. Sometimes government justice.
I guess, but I doubt it's charges on government fraud for what he did all the time as his job. It's probably something on the side he got into.
Yeah, he did some unauthorized stealing on the side.
Right, exactly. All right, we'll be back, fiends.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Deal with troublesome kids. You don't make waves, so why should they? Studies show that 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. ODD is a real problem in our society, according to the DSM, the big book that lets psychiatrists know who's mentally ill and who's not. ODD is also known as libertitis, or inflammation of the liberty. It's been a serious problem for almost 50 years. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. In severe cases, kids may be suspended from school and end up in jail for violating those all-important nanny laws. In extreme cases, they might even quote Ron Paul. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Compliacin reduces non-essential brain activity by 70%. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. This drug can even keep your kids off drugs. Unlike outdated methods such as punishment or uniforms, Compliacin works on the inside, taking choice completely out of the equation. Compliacin combines Thorazine, Ritalin, and 15 secret herbs and spices. It has all the effectiveness of a chemical straitjacket with none of the drooling. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin, you'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name. Compliacin. From Pilfer.
Pilfer. We've got a pill for everything.
Yeah.
Pilfer. I love, and this drug can also keep your kids off drugs.
Yeah. You know, the line, talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name. That's actually pretty common in drug ads, is talk to your doctor and ask for it by name. And it's like,
that
is so antithetical to how medicine is supposed to work in our world. You know, you're not supposed to tell your doctor. I got in trouble for telling my doctor I needed antibiotics.
You were like, I need some antibiotics. She's like, I'm the doctor. Don't tell me how to do my job.
Yeah, well, she's probably out with the flu right now. So there you go.
Yeah, she got that government flu.
Government.
Yeah.
I really liked it in the Compliacin ad. The antisocial rap music the kids listening to while screaming, quit telling me what to do, is Nima Vedati's rap music. Nobody owns me.
Why do you love that? Just because it's awesome?
Because it's awesome and you're awesome. And I'm just honored to be doing stuff with you, and I'm absolutely serious, man.
I'm honored to be doing stuff with you, man.
No homo.
If it weren't for you, we wouldn't be getting on radio.
Radio. In the morning. You know what's funny? There's a morning zoo crew kind of show in Wyoming. DJ actually listens to it on her way to work. It's called, what, DJ?
She's like, no, I don't. I don't.
She said,
I
it's not. She said it's not Zoo Crew at all, but it's morning talk show.
Right.
And it's right. The guy's name is Brian Scott, and his show is called BS in, BS in the Morning. I love that.
Nice. That's funny. I know Brian Scott. Him and somebody who's in the Guns N' Weed movie used to be good friends.
Oh, which one?
Yeah. Can't tell you.
Pigeon it
it's
to me.
Pigeon it to me. Okay,
so,
fine. Jay Tizzle and Brian Scott.
I'm actually looking at pigeons.
He used to invite her over for pancakes.
I'm looking at pigeons. Is that what the kids are calling it these days?
I guess that's.
I'm looking at pigeons. There's pigeons out my window, man. I can't get away from pigeons. Maybe if now, I left
is,
my
is,
house.
Is it pigeons now? No, that's for East Coast old people. You man, Western old people have to be satisfied with your squirrels.
Man, there are far more pigeons any given day in my backyard than there are squirrels. There are.
I don't remember pigeons in Wyoming. Pigeons.
Yeah, our old state rep used to go around and shoot them with an air pistol. He probably
I remember crows. There were tons of crows.
Yeah, they're out and around. But in neighborhoods, if you put out bird seed, you know, I can look out there sometimes and see 50 or 60 pigeons, like under the bird feeder, eating the what
there
cast
was.
Off.
There was some specific time of year. I forget when it was. It was some transitionary season, like
I believe that's
spring,
known
so
as
it's only two.
It's known as pigeonalia.
Well, it wasn't pigeons. It was crows. And in Riverton, they'd be like everywhere. I think
it's
it was
the crow apocalypse.
Yeah, there was the crow, and literally, I remember some either city official or some old person that had lived in Riverton their whole life
same
telling
thing.
Me that
same thing.
That at one point it was so bad that the city was like, hey, if you want to get your shotguns out and start calling all these birds, go for it.
Yeah, people but shotguns like aren't shotguns are not a good idea for in town. Animal control, yeah. Really, like high-powered CO2 air guns with metal pellets are the thing to use.
Shooting a bird with one—that'd be kind of tough. I mean,
kills him. You should see Gerald Gay, man. I've seen video of Gerald Gay doing it, and I've been in his car when he does it, and he like, you know, it's something that would get you droned in most other states. He has like a scary black air rifle that can kill a bird at like 100 yards, and it has a scope. I mean, it's like a $900 air pistol or air rifle.
Wow.
And he'll be driving around in his car. He'll pull into a parking lot and like crack the window and get down low like a sniper and stick this scary black air rifle out the window and shoot birds. And he has a permit to do it. A city permit for animal abatement. Yes. It's called
your state rep's hobby is driving around town in his truck, killing friendly little animals all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, he does cats too, feral cats, which I'm a cat lover and I just don't want to think about it, but I don't have any like San Francisco style, like he must be stopped about that. It's kind of like, I don't think feral cats are very happy, man. I really don't in Wyoming
really?
In the winter.
Know. I think maybe in Wyoming. Yeah. I don't know. We have a colony of feral cats here in our apartment. One of them is.
Think about the weather difference between Casper and Austin in the winter,
yeah,
man.
That's
it gets
true,
down
man.
To like 62 there and he can get, you know, under things. Here it gets down to like -27 with 50 mile an hour winds.
Yeah, but it's still statist, man, because he's like paid by tax money to go around doing that, isn't he?
No, or he has a state permit to do it.
Ah,
but it's not a secret because it came up because Anthony Bouchard was going on and on about it, about how
was he?
That's why he voted against he abstained on a voting for a gun friendly law.
Right.
You know, after running on I am so gun friendly, and I produced videos of him talking about that helped him win his first his first time through, and. You know,
I guess it comes
back
to private property for me, though. I mean, if he goes around public property doing this, and I don't think there should be public property. So if I like feral cats and don't want them to be murdered in my property, then I wouldn't murder them. And if you do, then whatever. It's your property, I guess.
Yeah. I should charge him for the right to sit in my backyard in a chair and shoot my pigeons. No, I would not do that. I love my pigeons. I feed them.
Uh-huh. All right. We'll be back.
More on Wyoming pigeons after we sell some things. So
yeah.
Nima,
what's up?
Do you think we'll be able to play the Compliacin ad on real radio?
I don't see why not.
I just think the FCC would be like, ma'am, we've received your complaint about cat muff. We don't know what cat muff is, so we can't do anything about it. You know, when I think
call
of
your
that,
local Department of Fish and Hogs.
Well, no, what they generally tell you if they can't do anything about it is complain to the station.
Ah, right, right.
And, you know, my answer is, like, change the channel, you old biddy. You old crow.
Yeah, old people love to call. I mean, I don't know. I think old people would be like, okay, I will. Because at all the stations I worked at, whenever something technical would go wrong, people would, like, the calls would flood in. They'd be like, did you know that the audio's not working? I'd be like, yeah.
I'm glad that
the 15th person to call.
I'm glad old people don't listen to us, because we have a lot of technical little, they're getting fewer and further between, but it's like, we're our own board op. I mean, do you really think Glenn Beck is the guy who's having to press record to, like, save his show and archive it? No.
No.
We're doing everything. Two people, man. Plus Ian. Plus Ian's magic. Ian's magic that works flawlessly, as opposed to Adam Curry's web people who messed everything up and couldn't get us on the air till a half hour late sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Adam Curry's great, but he should, yeah.
Yeah, well... Curry's good, but Curry's good. We had technical differences, I guess. So.
Technical, yeah, that's what we said we left, because of technical differences, which is kind of funny, because bands always say they break up because of creative differences, and it usually means one of two things. The singer and the guitar player like different drugs, or the singer and the guitar player take all the songwriting, the publishing credit, and, you know, they're living in mansions and sleeping on piles of money with many beautiful women, and the bass player and drummer are living in studio apartments and driving 10-year-old Toyotas.
Right. Yeah, man. But people like Glenn Beck and people who, I don't know, I don't want to say have made it, because it's not just that, but once you get to a certain level, it's a lot easier. I remember... shadowing this reporter named Shamari Stone, who worked for the same company owned the station in Seattle that owned my station in bumfuck Washington State. So they sent me to go hang out with this guy named Shamari Stone, who actually has YouTube fame because he got into a fist fight on air during a live shot once. And
with
it became,
who?
Became like a viral YouTube thing. It was like some two dudes were like fighting, like two dudes were like talking shit to each other in the background, and one starts fighting with the other. And so he goes to break it up. And then the more violent one starts fighting him, and he like pins him down, which is kind of badass. Like I can't fault him for that. I'd probably do the same thing. Yeah, man, he had a photographer, which, you know, when you start out in news, you're a one-man band. You do everything yourself. You do all your own shooting. There's no film crew. Like, people would be like, well, you and your film crew can come by. And I'm like, what, you mean me?
Me and my camera.
But this guy, Shamari Stone, he had, like, a dude to do all that stuff. So literally all he did, his job, was he walked around and talked to people.
Yeah.
All he did was walk and talk to people. And then he went back and he started to type out a script and sent it off. And then, you know, the editor, of course, rewrote the whole thing. He was like, I guess that's my script now. And then he just voiced it. I mean, he's a great guy. I'm not trying to, like, deride him or anything. But
deride.
A deride.
Deride. Deride.
A lot easier than being everything all at once like we are and like I was.
Yeah. Do you want to give out the number?
Yeah, I guess we could do that. So if you are a fiend, we've got two segments left. You can call in, even if you're not a fiend, I suppose.
Because conflict is the essence of drama.
You can control our airwaves. You can dial 307-215-5171. Again,
you just made fun of Free Talk Live.
215-5171. No, I was imitating. That's the sincerest form of flattery, I'll have you know.
I would say that... we don't let people control the airwaves, unlike Free Talk Live. We'll let you control the airwaves for one segment out of like nine.
Michael is a control freak. Michael controls the airwaves.
Yeah. I know. It's not even the fiends. It's me.
It's just Michael.
But I'm going to get us a lot more airwaves coming up here soon. Do you think Glenn Beck is going to be calling radio stations and saying, we'd like to tell you about this new show? No.
No. I don't think so.
He had his fellow Mormon debutantes do it. I meant celebratons, but I took a hippie Valium last night, and my brain's trying to catch up with my body. Now, what hippie Valium is an over-the-counter. It's actually what is it, DJ? I don't know. Melatonin. It's melatonin. Yeah, and it's I take it when I can't sleep and I have to get up for something. So, but you really like to. It takes after you take it, you immediately go to sleep. You sleep really deeply for like 8 hours, and then like. For 3 or 4 more hours, you're still waking up. So that's my excuse today. But
you had a sleep paralysis during that time?
Yeah. But I feel better about it than I would if I hadn't done it and I'd slept 5 hours, you know? which I did the other day. I'm still catching up from doing a morning Zoo Crew show at 7 a.m. with Ernest Hancock, and then doing our show at 2 in the afternoon. That was tough for me, man. That was a tough day.
Yeah, well, I mean, I always felt like, though, you were more flexible like that, because you don't really have a set schedule. You kind of just...
Well, I am, and then it takes me days to catch up, and I'm finally sort of catching up. But now I got too much sleep in my sleep bank, and I'm like...
See, I slept 4 hours the other night because Frank called me while I was working and was like, I'm coming over. Let's shoot some video of this thing at the Capitol.
Not
F Frank.
I'm kidding. F Frank. F anyone that wakes me up. Boy, that's what I say.
Boy. No, he didn't wake me up. He called me while I was at work, and he was like, I was like, yeah, awesome. It's great you're coming to town. But then I had to wake up like early, well, 10 is early for me. So I got like 4 hours of sleep because I got home from work at 5, woke up at 6. Or no, got back from work at 5 a.m., went to bed at 6 p.m., woke up at 10, and went and shot video all day, and then went to work again. And then at night, I was like, well, I'm just going to go to bed early, and then I'll wake up today and finish everything, which I didn't do. But tonight, you can look for some more video coming out. I did like a whole news package, but I did it like I wanted to do it. So in my stand-up, I say things like Molan La Bay, bitch, and stuff like that. So it's real fun. Well, and speaking of bitch... I had made a little thing
viral
on the Facebook. Yeah, I did a Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe, as in the Kendrick Lamar song, and had a picture of me wagging my finger with the yellow and black ANCAP colors. I really like those colors, the way they fit together. I'm going to start using them more in my art.
Someone said the fiends get up at the crack of noon, and I'm like, I get up at the crack of 3 p.m., given my druthers.
I get up at the crack of whenever I get up. It's like different usually every day.
We did a whole show on that.
Depending on what the day calls for. Yeah.
So exactly. Obama going to take our guns away. We haven't even touched that. I don't know. Everybody's touching that.
I do want to say it a lot. I think it's sick of being touched. It's like sore right now.
I know. I do want to say that Charlie has gotten so fat, our oldest cat, that the floorboards creak in a certain place in the living room when she walks on them. A cat, man. That's fat. Good. That's a fat
Kanks
cat.
Kanks just don't die. They get fat and become cats.
There's a new acronym I like. It's SCUM, and it stands for Socialist, Communist, Utopian, Marxist, and it's basically everyone in government.
Yeah. Now well, let's define socialist, because somebody on the A Gun for Everyone YouTube video put a comment that I stopped listening when the dude said Obama was a socialist.
Dude, George Bush was George Bush was a socialist.
Yeah, Wall Street is socialist.
Actually, they're both fascist because they want the government to control all industry.
I still think it's a form of socialism, though, because socialism is socializing costs. It's having society
well,
as
Hitler
a whole pay for
was
things.
Both. I mean, if you want a historical example.
To me, fascism falls under the umbrella of socialism, as does communism, and as does social democracy, which is, you know, the kind of soft socialism that America and Western Europe preaches
and Hitler.
As being the greatest thing ever.
And Hitler. I mean, that wasn't that the name? Soft. What was the name of their party? Hitler was soft, did you say?
I don't think Hitler was soft.
Oh, yeah.
And I said soft socialism. No, Hitler was national socialist. That was the Nazi party.
Yeah, I would like our Denmark person to call in and tell us about soft socialism. We have a listener right now in Denmark who gave us some Danegeld. Mango, why don't you call in on the Kitty Feet One?
Do you like it hard or do you like it soft?
Do you like your tyranny hard or soft?
I'm a socialist. I'm not asexual. I'm a socialist.
We'll be back after we go sell some more things. I guess you missed your opportunities to call in because we don't take calls in the last bit.
We have before.
All right, I'll leave it open for one person. The Danish dude, Mango, can call in.
Mango.
Add us on Kitty Feet One on Skype.
Worms and squirms. Peace.
Yeah, peace. Freedom Fiends.
Yo, fiends. What it do? Did you see my picture of my cat sleeping on the piano bench in the chat room?
No. I'm going to check that out. I don't see a picture.
The one where it's blank, just click where the blank spot is.
Yeah, I don't have I don't have a blank spot there. Yeah.
So it says Nemafine, and then it says Piano Cat is sleeping on the job, and above that, You should see Nemophene.
Yeah, I see a blank spot, but I don't see a picture there.
Yeah, you click on the blank spot.
I'm clicking. There's nothing. The best thing to do is to upload pictures to Twitter and then post the Twitter link. That's the flawless way to do it, I have found. Yeah.
See, I thought the picture just wasn't showing up in my browser, but it's there. Like, I click on it and it shows up.
Yeah, we've had this problem before. So, are we going to just troubleshoot our... No, let's move on, man. Let's move on. I was thinking of calling this episode The Fiends, Fair and Biased. Do you like that?
But I don't like the word fair, but...
well, it's a takeoff. Okay. It's making fun of Fair and Balanced, which before Fox made it a trademark was actually, you know, a term for news for like 100 years, for the goal of news, allegedly. The alleged goal of news.
Yeah, very allegedly.
But we're fair and biased. You know, because our bias is to truth, to what's right. But most people think it's a bias to hating everything that the government's doing for you.
Yeah. And I was going to use that in my upcoming news thing, but I decided to opt for openly biased instead of fair and biased. Because I don't know really what fair is so vague. Like, I get that it's a great takeoff on what Fox News says, but fair is subject, man. What one person thinks is fair, another person might not think is fair. Like, Democrats think it's fair for you to do the right thing and pay money to you know, the state so they can help homeless people and whatnot.
And Nancy Pelosi thinks it's fair to say this: more gun control needed because we took an oath to protect and defend.
Right.
Which is pretty bizarre because she doesn't even know what oath she took, or else she's intentionally skewing it, because Congress people don't take an oath to protect and defend. They take an oath to defend the Constitution. Cops take an oath to protect and defend. And then none of them do any of that. So,
Yeah. Well, I think it's not fair when the government does just about everything. But if I said, "That's not fair," to a cop as he wrote me a ticket, he would laugh in my face.
Yeah.
So I don't like that word fair. I don't like people using it, and it's silly.
People talk about how the government used to be better, and you and I generally make fun of it. But I found an example of where the government did something better a long time ago that they wouldn't do now. In the 1970s, CB radio became really popular. It was kind of like the internet chat room of the day. And there were songs about it. There was the song Convoy, which was all like how great truckers and CB radios are. But what really drove CB radios from obscurity to like everybody had one, including me when I was like, you know, 10, was there were gas. Like you couldn't get gas at all gas stations. There was a big like gas shortage that the government created. So, and truckers have such thin margin, you know, long haul truckers, thin margins of, you know, either making money or losing money, that they used CB radio to tell other truckers, A, where the gas stations with gas and cheaper gas were, B, where the speed traps were, because they also reduced the federal speed limit from like 75 miles an hour to 55.
Oh,
and
yeah.
55 was killing truckers' profits. So they would just go 75 and then tell each other where the Smokies were.
Where the cops.
Smokey the Bear. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
in Convoy, when they say bears, that's what they mean.
That's cops.
They mean cops.
Yeah. Smokey the Bear.
I kind of got that from context, but I didn't understand why they were calling them bears. Because that's my term of endearment for my wife. We call each other bears. And I was like, weird.
Well, you can do that, but in the 70s, it meant cops and the fuzz. In 1974, after all these songs came out and a couple movies and everything about CBs and truckers, people started getting them to sit at home and yak to each other and, like, you know, socially network.
Right.
And there used to be like a $20 licensing fee to have a CB radio.
Really?
And in 1974, they got inundated with over a million license applications in a month. And so they dropped the license requirement entirely. I could not see that happening now, man. I could not see the government saying, people are trying to send us too much money. It's overwhelming us. Let's make the law go away. I don't see that ever happening again.
Yeah, man. That'd be the jobs program. They'd be like, yes, we need to license. Paul Krugman would be like, we need to license everything, even brushing your teeth, and then we'll solve this economic crisis.
And think about, like, you know, the economy. the big problem, other than guns, that everyone's talking about, the big alleged, you know, the real problem is the deficit, and everyone's talking about, like, what can we do about it? And Obama is proposing a bunch of gun control that is estimated by Reason magazine to, it's going to cost $500 million a year to implement.
Wow. $500 million or $500 billion?
$500 million.
Oh, okay.
You know, not including the cost to the babies that are going to be murdered by politicians while taking guns away from honest gun owners.
Yeah, while they're doing Wacos, as the New York mayor wants to do. It sounded like he wanted to do that.
Yeah, he should start a group called, you know, the Waco Squad, like a bunch of SWAT people, and just name them what they are. The Waco Squad.
Yeah, yeah. We're here to burn you to death if you don't do what we say.
Their motto, instead of to protect and serve, could be taking the guns out of your cold, dead hands. Since 2013.
Oh, that's great. That's great. We need to do an image for that.
To disarm and terrorize. DJ
says. No, I like
taking
earlier.
The guns out of your cold, dead hands.
Taking the guns from your cold, dead hands.
Somebody who's good at Photoshop, please make that. Take a Bearcat, put the name of that town in New York on it, and say, you know, in quotes, in script or something, taking the guns out of your cold, dead hands.
It wouldn't surprise me at all if some statist or some Democrat has said that before.
There was a DHS
that could be arranged after the dude said, who's the dude, Moses, after he says it. Well, okay,
a guy should photobomb him, like just pop up like a lemming in the back and go, well, that could be arranged, that could be deranged. there was actually a DHS sponsored like training exercise recently. I forget where it was, but it was the premise, you know, and they have actors for this. And there's this whole conspiracy theory that those actors, you know, the conflict actors were actually used as the fake victims in these shootings. I don't even want to go into that. We'll touch on that Tuesday, but or Monday. But there was an actual training exercise in some town sponsored by the DHS where the premise was a bunch of Second Amendment supporters don't want to give up their guns and start blowing up, you know, public buildings or something. And that was that was the premise. And they were carrying it out with actors.
Yikes. When was that? Was that recent?
That was recent. I can find it on Sipsy Street Irregulars, which has all your gun tyranny news hour by hour updates. Yeah.
Yeah, man. That kind of stuff scares me. Yeah. I'm normalizing that because that's what that is, right? This could happen and we need you to root for the good guys because we're the good guys kind of thing.
Somebody recently said that we shouldn't call these assault weapons. We should call them regime change weapons.
Regime changers.
Yeah.
Instead of a game changer. Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although people have been dabbling with various things to use. There's a gun shop in Utah that was giving away free AR-15s, you know, in all the recent stuff that's been happening. That's been their shtick is, hey, we'll give a free AR every week. And they've been calling them anti-assault rifles. And I've heard people calling them defense rifles.
I've heard scope 308s called counter sniper rifles too.
Counter sniper rifles.
Yeah, I just put a link in the check out this link for urbantslings.com. They're did you get it in the pigeons there?
Uh-huh. Not I got the it pigeons, in the chat room. Yes.
Yeah.
I did see this earlier.
It's a site that sells gun equipment, and for their AR-15 mags, it says, sorry, we are out due to sheep leftists reacting to a tragedy emotionally instead of rationally. Now, there's a drop-down menu for prices here. Let's see. The prices are, and these were before they were out of them. It said, if you voted for Obama, F off and go buy something somewhere else. You're too stupid to own a firearm. The next choice is standard capacity 30-round magazine, Patriot price, $14.75. Next option is, I was on the fence and couldn't decide. There was plenty of info out there. Again, go somewhere else. Next option, I didn't vote for him, but the people spoke Boehner price, which is making fun of Republicans that don't respect anything. If that's how you feel, it's $16 trillion.
And right. Then it's the national debt.
And the last deficit. The last one is, I admit I'm an idiot of the state, fell for his lies, but now swear to defend the U.S. Constitution at any cost. $14.75 plus add a $10 stupid charge. All right, fiends. We'll be back on the radio.
Good times, folks. Radio.
Yeah.
Radio.
Thanks, fiends. It's been a good fiend.
Yes. Peace to worms. All my fiends. Peace, love, and worms. And swarms.
Love the fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiend's message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.